Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our latest e-money knowledge-based podcast. My name is Brett Tharp, your friendly neighborhood advisory training specialist and certified financial planner at e-money, and I'm back in the host seat for this episode. And in today's conversation, I sit down with my good friend and e-money teammate, Chris Mariello. Chris works in our financial planning, practice management, and consulting team, and has extensive experience working with different types of firms and financial professionals. In previous conversations, the podcast has discussed ways to input annuities in our software. And since annuities can be fairly complicated financial instruments, we wanted to dive a little bit deeper and talk through different situations and potential approaches to consider when positioning annuities in e-money. So without any further ado, let's begin today's podcast. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, Chris. Thanks for giving us your time today. Do you mind sharing just a little bit about yourself and your role before we get started?
Thank you for having me. I am Chris Mariello, and I'm a member of the Financial Planning Group, and I work as a practice management consultant. I have worked at eMoney for more than a decade and come up through the organization, as the hockey players say. I started as a customer service phone rep where I had a great desk and a better desk neighbor. Then I joined the success coaching team before spending a few years on the training team. And then I joined the financial planning group and moved over to my current role about 5 years ago. Now, in terms of what we do, practice management really is a comprehensive set of services and solutions that help individual users, home offices and users there, and then enterprise leaders achieve their business goals of providing value to their financial professionals. And really, we do that by strategically organizing various elements to improve operations, client satisfaction, and financial success.
Appreciate that, Chris. And yes, many moons ago, we were neighbors and we palled around a whole lot in our customer support department. But
if I had a question, I was one desk, one chair slide back from some quality answers. I always knew that.
Well, you picked up a lot and were able to apply it and grow. And obviously, you've been able to parlay that into a bunch of roles here at eMoney. And we are absolutely grateful to have your insights to share in today's episode.
All right, enough of that gooey show of emotion. Let's get to it.
Let's get into it, right? Yeah, so as you probably know, annuities are one of the most searched for items in our help menu. It's understandable because just the nature of annuities, they're fairly complicated. They can be very unique across all the different providers and versions and products that they offer. Although we've discussed some modeling annuities, any money in the past, I wanted to bring you in so that we could have maybe a more nuanced conversation and talk about some different considerations whenever users are entering annuities, any money. But before we dive in all that, let's just kind of set the table again for why advisors utilize annuities in their financial planning engagements, some of the common reasons that a financial professional will look to leverage an annuity to help their financial goals.
Yeah, so let me start with, I think, just pointing out some of the outputs and some of the reports and things that you can actually find in eMoney. I think those are a great guide for what we have. So I think the first piece really just speaks to that guaranteed income, that secure income within those products. Clients are really looking to get something that is guaranteed to give their mind some ease, give them that peace of mind. So that's what they're looking. And then I think the other thing is just about security and protection from the market, right? clients are really unsure when they go into retirement what's going to actually happen with the market. And now their risk is a lot greater in terms of the time that they have. They have a lot less of it. So they're looking for some of that protection in the market. I think those are the two that really most folks are looking at. But Brett, I know you have some thoughts based on some of your background and some of your past experiences. So anything to add there yourself?
No, I think, you know, you nailed it. The primary reason for considering an annuity is, again, just protecting income, ensuring a certain level of income, providing peace of mind so that no matter what, come blank or high water, right? We know as an individual that if I have this annuity, it will give me whatever in terms of an income and withdrawal benefit that I can count on throughout my retirement.
There you go. That's the too long didn't read version of my answer. Nice and succinct. Thank you.
Picking up on you, man, here. So there are good reasons for considering annuities, right, and the solutions that they can provide. But obviously, annuities are complicated. In your experiences here, what are just a couple of reasons that annuities are so complicated just in reality?
Yeah, Brett, I think this is, I had a great example as I was getting ready for this. I was, you know, speaking with one of our sales reps and asking about some functionality and some things. And I think the first thing that really creates some confusion between the user of our platform and maybe even some of the folks they're speaking to over here as they're getting support and as they're speaking to clients is just some of the jargon in the industry. Like the name of the product, like the GMWIB, like GMWB, see, even I said it, or GMIB, like there's all of those different letters and things. And so it's just the lots of different ways that you can describe the same thing and the lack of standardization between some of those pieces. So really just the different jargon. And I think what that also gets to is that the confusing product names that maybe some of the different instruments that advisors are trying to implement for their clients and put into the platform. So a lot of those different pieces, like whether it's, hey, are we talking income or is it a withdrawal benefit? Is it a payment? Is it a distribution? There's a lot of those things that go into that.
Absolutely. Yeah. The number of acronyms that are associated with different annuities and products are, you know, I'll have a hard time keeping them all straight. And I was on the front lines for some time in my career here. So that's, I think you're 100% spot on. What I come to hear also from users and attendees at our training webinars and workshops is often an annuity will come with an illustration that portrays many different types of projections about how this product could perform over time. And a lot of the questions that I get are, well, which illustration should I use? I have five to consider. Should I pick the one that's kind of in the middle? Should I take maybe a more optimistic or pessimistic illustration? What should I use here? And then trying to fill in and make those values match what's in e-money is obviously going to be complicated for a couple of reasons that we can talk about. But that kind of segues me into just, I want to get your thoughts here. How do you typically suggest users go about selecting the illustration to try to model in our software?
I'm going to take two stances here. First, I think typically using the most conservative allows you to underpromise and overdeliver. So when we're thinking about these things, being on the conservative side allows you to say, hey, this is us kind of building in a quote unquote worst case scenario. So I expect that you are going to do better than this. I am X amount percent sure that you're usually going to do better than this. That you know, being honest and saying, hey, I want to show you, I'm going to handicap myself. I'm going to put handcuffs on myself in these illustrations so that if we do well or if we show success within your simulation, within your plan, we're most likely going to do better than that in the real world. So that's one way to think about it. The other thing that I might even recommend is as you are getting some of those products and some of those institutions, a lot of those firms have really really adept advanced market teams and advanced strategy teams that have some good guidance. Maybe they know, and they know how the e-money tool works or a financial planning tool works. What's their guidance in terms of what you should input? I definitely go back and check those resources that they have, because the people that are creating those illustrations on those spec sheets, on those sheets that you're looking at, can also provide that guidance on how they would want to put it into, you know, a tool like ours.
That's great insight. In a certain way, it's almost like going kind of to the horse's mouth, right? Go to the source and see kind of what they suggest, or maybe some different ideas and considerations to make. So I think that's an incredible insight. Thank you for sharing that. I tend to align myself with your first point of going for the more conservative, and, you know, we're going to undersell it, but overperform. And that way I look better in my client's eyes, or, you know, things in reality will play out better. And so that typically, I think, is a good approach. For that reason, in terms of actually in e-money, right, the route that I typically will suggest is saying no growth as far as the pre and post-retirement growth rate on the annuity. Doing this again is going to show eventually the annuity becoming exhausted, but will demonstrate those guarantees. And you can again say, no matter what happens in reality, we can ensure that we have this level of income coming in. So that's all great stuff. And what I'd like to maybe, or maybe another thing to add, and this is just a little piggybacking off myself, so we also have inside of our software the ability to account for both what are called advisor fees and account fees. We can leverage account fees to try to control. If you don't want to say, hey, Brett, I don't like that no growth rate, I want to have some type of return, but it's not matching up with any of the actual model portfolios that we have available, how do I get the rate to be closer to what my illustration shows, or whatever version or projection in the illustration I want to model? Well, just know that, again, account fees could potentially be used to basically serve as drag or reduction of growth. So just another thing to consider in case you don't want to use that no growth pre and post retirement growth rate that I just suggested. Next place I want to take us here, Chris, want to kind of get some thoughts here about just how to position the annuity, whether it's maybe an existing one or one that you're, you know, hoping to have the client purchase.
So Brett, honestly, I think the point there is just to keep the primary goal of the annuity in mind, keep that front and center as you are putting up the different charts within our platform and showing them what it's going to do. So I think the main thing is that a lot of times folks are purchasing annuities to create guaranteed income streams and reduce reliance on the market. So using the reports like the Secure Income Report to show that, like the annuities report to show that, are great to get clients comfortable with those things. And then I think with that, you know, really that gets into just some functionality. It's about getting the, you know, making sure that you have the income or the withdrawal or the payment or whatever you want to call it accurate within our platform.
I could not agree more, right? Because again, this is primary reason that folks are typically purchasing these types of products. And we will, at eMoney, right, we know that we can't get every single value to match exactly what a given illustration shows. But what we can do is hone in on, again, the most important piece, which again is that payment, that income, that withdrawal piece, right? So could you mind sharing just with the audience maybe some best practices for how to control that first year payment?
Yeah, Brett, I love it. And when I sort of put that in the context, whenever I'm speaking about it, I always like to say, hey, we want to make sure that you are getting the strategy and you're being honest with the strategy that you're trying to employ with clients versus the very tactical pieces that you're going to be executing. We are building strategy within our platform, not necessarily tactical pieces. But in terms of getting that right, I think the first best practice that I can give you is that if you do actually know that first year payment and you want to get that. That's the only thing that we're worried about. We're going to be using the cash flow, and we want to make sure that the inflows that are coming into the client are what's exactly right. That's where we can use, you know, on the guarantees tab, what's referred to as the future-based value in e-money. So after inputting data on the basic tab, you head into that guarantees tab. And then at the top, you look for the guaranteed specified as field. That's where you can select the future-based value. You simply input what that first year payment is going to be. And then something that's maybe a little counterintuitive, though, you put in the field below that. It's the withdrawal rate is 100% because you're saying that that's the amount of money that the client is going to withdraw every year, is going to be eligible to withdraw every year. So you put that in there. And that's really just the simplest way to demonstrate a guarantee within an annuity in e-money.
And that's one of the more common things that I repeat in all of my sessions is, you know, let's try to be simple. We're inevitably going to get into the weeds. So if we can start with simplicity, I think it can go a long way. However, as we know in financial planning, sometimes, right, we can't take the simple approach, or maybe we don't exactly know the first year payout, or we're considering different age bands to maybe wait so we can get a higher payout. Right. So in situations where that first year payment amount maybe isn't known or is still yet to be defined, what can users do in that situation?
Yeah, Brett, that's one where they can take advantage of some of the tools that our system has in terms of growing assets and creating guarantees underneath that. So the first thing that they would want to change is, like, as they're looking at that illustration and they're looking at the band, they want to decide when that's going to happen and when that first withdrawal is going to happen. They're going to put a percentage there in that guaranteed withdrawal rate. They're going to change that from 100 to whatever that percentage is, whether it's 4.5, 6.5, 7.5, what have you. I'm sure it's going to be one that's rising based on age. As they wait longer, they're going to get more out of it. So, you know, you put that number in there. But then that's where they can then switch over to those guarantees specified as rider definition. This then unlocks that section below where you're going to be able to define riders, and you'll start be able building out what those guarantees could look like on the contract or the rider value. Or again, this is another place where, depending on the illustration, it's going to call it a few different things here.
And let's not even bring into the conversation things like high water marks and other things like that that can maybe be referred to as different things. We certainly have ways to account for that in our software, of course, and also ways for us to limit how long the guarantees are actually offered by the provider, right? Maybe based off of a client age or a certain dollar amount. So obviously other ways that you can still input some of that specific product information into our software, again, to hone in on the accurate income or withdrawal amount. Would you say that, you know, one is better than the other, right? Future-based value versus rider definition, is one better than the other?
Absolutely not. You know, it's really about the story that you're trying to tell and what's the most important piece. If you want to show the client the annuity report and you're looking at showing them the growing value of waiting and why you necessarily want to wait to take income until maybe it's something that's a little bit later than they were expecting you to show them, there's value in using the rider definitions versus if you're just know exactly, the client knows exactly how much of a gap they need to fill and you are getting them a product that gets them to that so that they can fill in those essential expenses and it's just the one number flowing into the cash flow that's most important. That's really what you want to determine. It's what exactly are you trying to show within our platform? What's the output number that's most important? And then show that. And then, you know, that's where you have that. And really that's getting into, like you mentioned before, there's sometimes you can do some things that are very straightforward and easy to define, or, you know, there's a little more nuance and you're trying to illustrate something that requires that context around those different pieces.
Here's yet another Brettism, right? And it's not, I can't take credit for this, but the answer to every financial planning question is it depends, right? When should I do this? When should I? Is this better? Is this worse? It depends. So again, hopefully throughout this conversation that we're having, we're just exposing some of those variables that it depends on, and you can take this and apply it in the appropriate situation with your clients. You and I have both been at eMoney for over a decade. It's been awesome working together in all these different situations. It's been really cool to see just how the software has evolved over time. And we recently introduced two annuity types, and we also created a brand new tab inside of the annuity itself called the Credit Strategy tab. Any suggestions or maybe insights that you want to share about how to get the most out of this particular tab?
Yeah, Brett, this one's exciting. So remember that our straight line cash flow analysis will, for the most part, have consistent annual returns. Outside of if you define a different pre- or post-retirement rate of return and any reinvestment transactions, like you said, it depends on a lot of factors that you could input. But since there are expected returns in this linear projection, many of the fields in the credit strategy tab may not actually impact the projection. However, when we run our Monte Carlo analysis, that's where we will certainly account for different things that you input, like buffer rates, cap rates, step rates, the participation rates, all of those different pieces that we've input there. Because since we're varying annual growth in each year of the simulation across those 1,000 different simulations, there'll be good years and bad years that are reflected. And those rates that you've input in this credit strategy will have a chance to affect them, whether it's, you know, capping or putting a floor on losses in the market, or sometimes it's capping the upside of a good rate. You know, all of the things that you've signed up for with those riders, with those definitions, with those products that you've got there. Now, it is sometimes difficult, and because of the nature of the Monte Carlo simulation, to see these rates when you're looking at something like just a Monte Carlo summary. We're not necessarily showing those individual rates, but they are captured. So I think one of the ways that, you know, as we're looking at it, you know, I can really comfortably say that is because I've done some testing. You do it. So if you want to do it for yourself, if you actually input a client with nothing else on their profile, and you just put in an annuity that has some of these rates, and then you go into the decision center, you can use some of those Monte Carlo projections and look at those different percentages, those different rates, and you can see when maybe something that would have been buffered, or you can see it be capped. You're never going to see something. So you can really just put in, create a client that has nothing in it, and then you can do some testing in there and see all of those buffer rates, those cap rates, all of those pieces work there.
Yeah, again, we are like-minded. I'm with you 100%. And again, just for a little bit more context, let's say my pre-retirement growth rate is going to be 5%, but I have a cap rate of 10%. Well, in every year of the simulation for just the straight line linear cash flow, we're never going to apply that 10% because we're always getting a 5% return. However, as you were just saying, right, in the Monte Carlo, when we start varying what those individual year returns are for individual portfolio assets, that's where we will certainly apply them. And yeah, I agree. It's you can see this in the decision center, but you did extensive testing. I did just a fair amount of my own. But we can both say unequivocally that yes, the credit strategy tab information is being factored into the projections. They're just going to have more of an impact on the actual simulation in the Monte Carlo trials compared to your cash flow straight line linear projection. Before we close things out here, because I appreciate your time, you've already given me so much. I want to be respectful, Chris, but I'd like to maybe just pick your brain for our listeners here. As far as considerations about how to tell the annuity story the best way to help motivate clients to take action, any best practices or suggested approaches on how to actually tell that story and have it be as impactful as possible?
Yeah, you know it. You already know. I have already alluded to it a little bit here. The first thing that I would do is consider filling out, like we mentioned, you can see it in the basic facts, or if you're building out a living expense worksheet, you want to make sure that you are filling out and defining a client's essential expenses percentage. And that can help the client understand the concept of discretionary versus non-discretionary expense. And then this can help the advisors that are trying to create that peace of mind for those clients by showing them that with those secure income sources, like we mentioned, things like pensions, things like Social Security, things like the annuity income that we're generating off of it, they can show how much of that secure income covers these client essentials expenses. I think a great way to do it is in the decision center. If you're proposing an annuity, you can show the secure income report before the annuity, and then you can show the secure income report with the annuity turned on. They're going to be able to see that percentage of essential expenses covered by secure income. There's a nice metric right there that shows that big value right there. So I think that's a great piece to be able to do that. So, you know, getting comfortable with building a client's base facts, having it be okay with it, maybe falling a little short in some aspects, and then building the solutions in the decision center, specifically around the secure income against essential expenses. It's a great way to do it.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you, Chris. And just one other way to sum up the storytelling, right? Sometimes it's not what you're saying, but how you're saying it. As all of our listeners know, right? When you go into Decision Center, you have a lot of different ways that you can tell your story, whether that's renaming techniques, reordering them, right? Enabling everything at once or turning things on one by one to see the results and the impact in real time. There is no one way to tell the story. We would just suggest practicing and rehearsing how you tell your story to find out what is going to be most effective, most impactful to help those clients follow through and take you up on those recommendations. I can't believe we're already at the end of our interview here, Chris, but I do just want to, again, express my gratefulness and just saying, again, thank you for providing your insights, experience, and everything to the listeners of the Knowledge Base podcast. I know everyone, including myself, has benefited or will benefit from hearing your thoughts. So again, just want to say thank you, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Brett. I hope the listeners like it, and maybe I get a chance to come back down the road.
Well, careful what you wish for. Thanks, Chris. Well, time certainly flies when you're having fun. It was great sitting down with Chris and talking shop regarding annuities. In closing, remember that many different factors will influence how you model different annuities in our software. I hope that today's episode has given you some insight on the most effective ways to frame an annuity depending on the situation or circumstances related to that client. And we look forward to providing even more e-money and financial services industry insight in future episodes as well. And so with all of that said, I want to again say thank you for spending some time with us today. And we'll be back in a few weeks with our next episode. And until then, this is Brett Tharp signing off for now. Hope you have a great day. Take care.